And good morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 2. If you just walked in, there's actually, we brought some drinks in the back, and you just have to get some hot water, and you can help yourself at any time. There's a bunch of different stuff, like coffee, there's some Milo and Ovaltine and stuff like that. And maybe, Sandro, you can bring us some emergency. I take one emergency a day, so we'll see how good it is. This is the test for the product. All right, Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for the child. And when you have found him, report to me, that I too may come and worship him." And having heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way. And when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." And he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. And there was there until the death of Herod, that which was spoken with the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Out of Egypt did I call my son." Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its environs, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which had ascertained from the Magi. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more." And when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he departed for the regions of Galilee and came and resided in a city called Nazareth. And that which was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled: "He shall be called a Nazarene." Amen. Well, I hope your fasting time is going well. I'll give you some instruction as we go along. And this Sunday, I'll give you a little bit more. But probably good at this point not to take too many hot showers, right? Because you'll be surprised how much that really drains your energy. You know, and kind of take it easy. You might find yourself being a bit tired. It's only day one, right? And things, but you know, take a little nap here or there. Just lie down when you get a chance. Don't get up so quickly, right? Because you'll get a little lightheaded, right? When that happens. So if you can learn to regulate your body a little bit, it'll kind of help you through this whole thing. Okay. And so also, some of you guys weren't here. You guys were on vacation, and our church we're doing a 21 days of fasting. But if you would like to continue, I really felt God asked me personally and kind of lead us into 36 days of fasting. And so, you know, obviously if you weren't here during the service, you probably didn't know what was going on. But I just felt like God just wanted us to fast or to tithe this time. And, you know, being 365 days, we figure 36 days. And so, you know, you can do it different ways. You can do your normal fast that you're planning to do for 21 days, and then you can adjust it, you know, later on. But, I mean, it's up to you. And you can just do 21 days, and, you know, and that's fine too, right? So just let God speak to you through that. And but we'll be meeting here the whole 36 days, and so that's open to you as well, okay? So in chapter 2, we see, you know, the announcement. The wise men come in, and we, you know, shared about this a little bit on during the Christmas service. I don't have to get into it too much. And we see they came and brought gifts and all these things. I want you to just notice one thing that particularly kind of stood out for me, you know, is that God speaks in many different ways, you know, and God leads. He always leads his people. This is something you always have to remember. I know sometimes it may seem like, you know, God, you know, what's going on in my life, you know, this or that, but God always leads his people. Right, you know, there's a, if you want a simple idea, right, is the picture of the shepherd, right? God will always feed us, and God will always lead us. You know, and you can be always assured of those things. And we see that the avenue by which God chose in chapter 2 to lead his people was dreams. You know, and this is could be particularly troubling because you know, apparently we have thousands of dreams every single night. And out of those thousands of dreams, God will interject one dream, right, that he really speaks to us. And so we see here in chapter 2 that he, first of all, speaks to the Magi, right? And he says, you know what? Herod's tricked you. Go home and don't even go back to Herod. Go a different way, right? And so he's leading the Magi. Next thing you know, right, the angel of the Lord comes and speaks to Joseph in a dream, you know, and he tells him to go to Egypt, you know, and thus, you know, kind of, get away from the calamity that's about to be put upon the Jewish people there. And then later on, after Herod dies, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph again and tells him, well, okay, it's time to go back to Israel. You know, and it's not just, you know, just go back to Israel. He gets another dream after that that specifically says, you know, why don't you go down here to Nazareth? You know, and we see that the dreams are very specific. The dreams are very real. You know, and it guides and leads Joseph into a place of safety. You know, and God speaks to us through dreams. Well, they say, well, Pastor, how can you tell if this dream that I got, you know, was from God or was it just a bad Chinese food that I ate the night before? You know, how can I, you know, really come to understand? And, you know, sorry to say, I can't really give you an answer. You know, it's just something that. Is just a witness in your spirit. You know, I know that I'm not a big dreamer, you know, in terms of I don't really get a lot of dreams. I mean, I dream once in a while, and to be quite frank, the last, when I dream, I get really emotional, you know, for some reason. And I had a couple dreams where, like, I was out somewhere, and Lisa was totally ignoring me, you know, and, like, talking to other guys. And then when I woke up, I was really, literally, I was ticked off for like 2 days, you know. And so I'm a very emotional dreamer, right? And then finally, we have to talk and say, hey, you did this in your dream. And she's all, dummy, it was a dream, right? It's not real life. But, you know, that's just how I'm just wired that way, you know. But I have had a couple of significant dreams. And I'd say a few dreams that have really altered the course of my life, you know, and maybe in this same way here, you know. And so I testify that God does speak. And I think when the Lord speaks through a dream, I think you know. You know, it's not one of those random, you know, things that happen and you feel like, you know, what is this? I think when this type of dream comes, it's just that you know that you know that you know. There's just something supernatural. There's something about it. And so I don't want you to, you know, don't have to wake up every morning with a notepad next to you and, you know, jot down every little dream that you had and try to discern, God, what were you doing through this thing? I don't understand. You know, but one thing that you should look out for, a few different things, is one is repetitive dreams. If you seem to get the same dream over and over and over again, you know, it could be one, it could be your psyche speaking to you. You know, or it could be the Lord, you know, that's really kind of trying to teach you things. There are also a lot of different symbolism in dreams, and a few are very Christian. You know, if you ever get like a train, you know, or something that's going somewhere, that kind of, just from my understanding of dreams and the little study that I've done, it kind of depicts God kind of taking you somewhere. Right? So there's some prophetic language that's involved in these type of things. So. But, you know, I'll just say that you know, that God speaks to us, and one of the avenues is through dreams. You know, one of the dreams that were very particular for me was actually when I was here in Hong Kong. And my first year in 1992, when I was here, I was playing basketball, and, you know, I was praying. I was saying, God, should I stay? You know, because we were here for about 6 weeks, and then I was asked to stay, you know, for the whole 3 months during my summer break. And you know, I thought, God, should I do this thing? And I had this dream that I just could not deny that it was God. You know, and some guys may have heard this story before, but I had this dream that I went back home, and you know, I was went back to my girlfriend's house. You know, the girl I was dating at the time. And I came home, and there was this big banner at the house, and it says, "Welcome home, Sam, missionary." And you know, all my friends and family were there. It was a really happy time. And so I came back. Everything was cool. And then I remember just walking out of the house and just kind of walking down the street and just looking up to the skies and kind of talking to God and saying, you know, just basically I just said, "God, I really blew it, didn't I? You know, I opted for the easy way out instead of staying, you know." And, you know, I felt God say, "Yep. You blew it," you know. And then right then I opened my eyes and I found myself in, you know, the youth hostel we were staying over in Yamate. And I realized, wow, okay. And so I changed my flight and all these things. Well, you know, a few days later our team is about to leave, and I realized that I may have made a huge mistake, because who am I that God would speak in a dream, right? I'm not Moses or anything, right, or Joseph. You know, and then there was another girl. I was here. There was a girls' basketball team. Another girl stayed as well. And while we were kind of sharing, you know, what we're going to do with the rest of our summer, you know, she kind of shared why she was staying. And during the beginning of her trip, she had a dream. You know what happened in her dream? She actually went to her boyfriend's house, you know, and had a party and da da and all these things. And then she walked outside and was talking with God. And God said, "You blew it, didn't you?" You know, kind of thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, we had the same exact dream. Obviously, because we had the same exact God, right? And I decided to stay that summer. And I would say that summer, I fell in love with Jesus. And my life was never the same. I probably, to be honest, I probably wouldn't be here. I probably wouldn't be a pastor, you know, had I not obeyed that dream. And so we see that they're quite powerful in our life. And I've had other couple significant ones. And I'm sure that you know, each of us can share a testimony of God, how God has spoken to us in a dream. The other thing that I kind of was kind of touched with today is even though, you know, Mary, you know, was a very privileged person, very exalted person, who did God speak to? Was it the husband or the wife? God spoke to the husband, you know, and I'm not trying to be chauvinistic or anything like that, you know, but there's something about the order by which God operates in the family. You know, even though Mary was very exalted, right, even though she was very privileged in these things, God still chose the path of speaking to the husband when it related to the issues of the family. I'm not saying that God only speaks to men. That would be, you know, bad theology in my case, you know. But there's something about the headship, right, the rulership of the husband in the family, you know. And, you know, it's interesting that God still, you know, three times, even though Mary had this position, still chose to speak through the husband. You know, and that should tell us, you know, a few things. Number one, if you're a man, it should tell you to be very careful with the weight, you know, and the authority that God is going to place or is placed and will continue to place on your life as you get married and have children and these kind of things. And also for the women as well, you know, it shows us, you know, the kind of, you know, how we should be really lifting up our men in our life. And, you know, because they're in a unique position, you know, that God had ordained for some reason, you know, that there's something about the fatherhead and these things. And so it really, you know, teaches us to really, you know, pray for, you know, your fathers, you know, pray for, you know, your future husband or your husband that you have now, right, that they would be godly men, you know, and really listen to the Lord and follow after, right? It just seems to be the order of the day in this way. So let's close our eyes and if in your life right now you're asking the Lord for some direction, rest assured that He will lead you, even through a dream, even something as simply as when you close your eyes and go to sleep and something happens. God will lead you, and so rest on that. Right, He will feed you and He will lead you always. And so this morning, if you are asking for direction, or if you know someone who's asking for some direction, let's just spend a little time and just pray. Say, God, I am open to whichever avenue you choose to speak to me. Lord, you can speak through a donkey. Surely you can speak to me. And let's just go to the Lord and spend a little time in asking the Lord to lead us and guide us. In that same way, let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for personal holiness in 2007. Let's pray that as God is holy, that we would also be holy. And that even for some of us, that God would redefine what that means in our life. And it's not necessarily just getting rid of bad habits and those things. It actually goes much deeper than that. It's aligning ourselves with the purity of Jesus. You know, and to be quite frank, the only way that happens is you need to walk in intimacy. You know, and let's just pray that, you know, and then if we are struggling with different things, that we just really lay that before the Lord, right? And that we would truly become holy as the Lord is, right? Holiness is something that only comes from God. It's only in God. It doesn't exist anywhere else. You know, so you can't have a holy cow or a holy, it doesn't work. It has to come from God. So that's what holiness is all about and stuff. And so let's really pray that we would just really derive not just our morality, but the way we live our life, rooted in God. Let's just cover ourselves right now. Let's pray for the leaders at Solomon's Porch. Let's pray that God would just continue to raise up more people that would get involved in serving. You know, and we just really cover them. And let's pray also that God would just really mature and bless them this next year. Just really give them a lot of wisdom and a lot of just heart to serve with gladness and to give of their time and their resources. All right, so let's cover our leaders, you know, our core team, our mission board, our worship team, the welcoming team, the activities, the Sunday school, and then also new youth leaders that are going to rise up, and Sunday school teachers starting in a month or so. So let's just cover our leaders and ask God to just continue to raise them up. Let's pray over the area of our work. Let's ask God to bless our work and ask the Lord to help us to witness, to be a good witness in our workplace and evangelize. Pray that God will give you favor in your position, in your job or your business or whatever you're involved in, and you would prosper this year in that. And maybe some of us are looking for a job. Let's really ask the Lord for an open door in that way. And maybe some of you guys are in business, and just ask for an increase this year. Let's just cover our work and the people that you work with. Pray for your colleagues and your superiors and the people that are under you. Let's ask the Lord to really cover us in the area of our work this year. Let's pray for our sister Grace. Let's pray that that she would have the grace to wake up every morning, especially if she's not a morning person. It's two for two, not bad, right? Also, let's pray for just real grace for the Lord to be really faithful in her fast and that she'd really connect with God and draw close to Him during this time. Let's just cover Grace. Pray for our sister Bonnie. Let's pray for her family, salvation, as well as reconciliation of family members. It says the walls are broken down for healing and good relationships. Let's also pray that she would prepare well for her job starting next week, especially in the area of wisdom for finances, finance allocation, and healthy relationships with her coworkers. Also pray for that she'd be willing and actively extend herself that God would just lead her and just she'd have discernment in terms of which ministries to dedicate herself to, and that God would just really give her clarity of some of the dreams and visions that's in her heart. So let's just cover Bonnie. Let's pray for Tom. by the length of this, he looks like he needs a lot of help, right? Let's pray for his family, right? Pray for his dad for health and prosperity in his business. Pray for the mom for her health. And there's a real family history of high blood pressure there, and let's pray that that'll be broken. Pray for a brother who's got a new job in Korea, and that he find a good church there, and that he can really grow and experience the Lord. Overall, just pray for his family that would break through any barriers or walls between them, and that would come together as a loving family who loves God together. Also pray for just within that family, reconciliation among relatives, and especially between the grandmother and an aunt, that they would be resolved. Also pray for guidance and wisdom and vision for his career and his job, to find out whether where he's at is where God wants him to be, or God has opened more doors to show him something else. And just really pray over that. Also pray that he'd manage his time well, especially as he hangs out with his non-Christian friends, that he would be a real witness, be able to spend quality time, but not do stupid things, and he'd really be able to share the gospel with them. He says here, it's been very difficult to balance everything out, and I know that God has placed these friends in my life for a purpose. And let's just cover Tom in those areas. Father, we thank you so much, God, that you continually feed us and you continually lead us, Lord. And we look forward to your leading in our lives this year, God. And we pray, Lord, that we are opened up, God, to every avenue of communication that you so choose to use, Lord. And I pray that we all walk in a higher level of discernment, God, to know that when it's you, when it's us, and when it's the enemy, Lord. And I pray, God, that this year, God, we wouldn't have to guess, Lord, or play any games. God, that we would just know what your will is, God, and we'd be obedient to that, Father. God, we thank you, Lord. Even today, God, we bind our will to your will today. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.